The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parashas Va'era. We are now on Sefer Shemos. Last week was the beginning of Sefer Shmos, Parshas Shmos. Now it's Parshas Va'era. And this evening also, Chof Ches Tevis is the Yahrzeit of the Telzer Rosh Yeshiva Hagon Reb Elio Meher Bloch Zecher Tzadik Lebrocha. I believe it's the 49th year since passed away in 1955. He was the son of the old Telzer Rav, Rabbi Yosef Yudav Leib, that was the Rav in Telz, and he was the younger brother of the last Telzer Rav, Rabbi Avram Yitzchok Bloch, who was the Telzer Rav until the time of the Holocaust. Hashem Yochum Dome. Rebbe Elimeir came to America together with his brother-in-law, Reb Mordechai Katz, Zichreinu Berocha, and they came in 1940 during the war years to try to move the yeshiva over to America, and they were the ones who reestablished Telz in America. Shabbos I'll be speaking more extensively about Rebbe Elimeir, but this evening we'll intersperse the shir with a few of his comments on these inyonim. Firstly, to bring us up to date, because when we took a break last time, we were holding in the parashas, I believe, of Yosef HaTzadik. So to bring us up to date what has happened since then, in Parshas Vayigash, the Torah tells us that Yaakov Avinu went down to Mitzrayim to be reunited with his son Yosef. And he went down Ishu Beisei Shivim Nofesh, a household of 70 people. It's actually 66, and then Yocheved was born on the way just as they entered into Mitzrayim, and Yosef and his two sons Ephraim and Manasseh were in Mitzrayim in Egypt, so there was a total of 70. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, Redu Shama, go down there. And the numerical value, the gematria of Redu is 210. That was the beginning of the 210 years in which the Bnei Yisrael were physically living in Mitzrayim. And Yosef preceded the Bnei Yisrael by 22 years from the time he was sold. Because he was sold, the Torah tells us, at an age of 17. And he was 39 when Yaakov was reunited with him. Torah says he was 30 years old when he stood before Parai, and he became the Mishnah Lamelech, the Viceroy. And then there were the seven good years, and 2 years of the famine. So he preceded Klal Yisrael by 22 years. Klal Yisrael, of these 210 years, the Bnei Yisrael, that were in Mitzrayim, 94 of these years were comparatively good years. Many were very, very good years because they were in Eretz Goshen, two Eretz Mitzrayim, the best and the fat of the land. But I say most of them because Tzoras started when Yaakov Avinu died. But the actual enslavement, the actual Shibud, only came after the first 94 years. Because the Torah tells us in Arpasha, that, well, no, excuse me, in last week's parsha, it states that Vayomas Yosef v'chol echov v'chol hador ahu v'yokem melech hodosh. Only after Yosef died and his brethren and the whole generation was there a melech hodosh, a new king that started to come with a plan of enslaving Klal Yisrael. And the Chazal Dash in our parsha states, the Torah tells us that Levi lived to be 137 years old. And Lamon Nimna Shnei Sof Shel Levi. The Chazal tell us, why does it specifically tell us the years of Levi? Because who had a Yom of Yesem Mikol Echov? He lived the longest of all of the brethren. So this means that the enslavement only started after he died. And the Sifse Chachomim makes a calculation that he was 43 years old when Yaakov and his household came into Mitzrayim. So if we subtract the 43 from 137, we get 94. So the Shibud, the actual enslavement, only started 94 years after they physically came down into Egypt, which means that the enslavement lasted for 116 years, because the total time they were there were 210. That would be 94 from 116. Excuse me, the 94 from 210. So this means that when they came down, there were 94 years, which were basically good. And then the enslavement for 116 years. Of the 116 years, the inui, the affliction, the Chazal tell us, started only 85 years before they went out, from the birth of Miriam. Because the Chazal tell us, why was she called Miriam? Hashem Mora, which means bitterness. And she was 85 years, the Torah tells us, when they went out. So that means 85 years of this period of time, of the 210, were years of inui and bitterness. And from the birth of Moshe to the Yetzir, to the going out, was a period of 80 years, because the Torah tells us that Moshe was 80. And would be from Aaron, 83, because Aaron was 3 years older. So again, there was a period of 210 years from the time that Yaakov, Ishu Beisai, and his household came down until the going out of Mitzrayim. And of those 210 years, 94 years were comfortable. This leaves 116 years, which was a shibud, enslavement. 85 years of this was affliction, merirus, from the time of Miriam. And the last 80 years was the tekufa shel Moshe Rabbeinu, was the life of Moshe Rabbeinu. Our sedra deals basically with the last year of the Shibun Mitzrayim, of the Klal Yisrael in Egypt. And that's what the Torah tells us. It states that during this time that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is instructing Moshe to go and speak to Paroi and to execute the Mefsim, the wonders, and the Eser Makis, the 10 plagues. So the Torah states in Perek Zayin, Posuk Zayin, Umeshe ben Shmeinim Shona, Va'aren ben Shlosh Ushmeinim Shona, Bedabram El Pare. Umeshe was 80, and Aaron was 83, which means Miriam would have been 85. So now our Sedra is dealing in the 80th year, the last year of the enslavement in Egypt, before the going out. And that's how a number of these parshas will be dealing, until parshas B'Shalach, when was the actual Yetzias Mitzrayim, the going out, or at the end of Parshas Bay. The Eser Makais The 10 plagues took approximately 10 months, because the Chazal tell us that, and Rashi brings it in Posuk Chof Hei, Perek Zayin Posuk Chof Hei, after Moshe struck the, or Moshe Aaron struck the Nile River, by Mole Shiva Shomim, Achre Hakes Hashem Esayor. 7 days passed after the river was struck. So Rashi explains that each plague lasted for 7 days, and then for 3 weeks there was a break in which Moshe used to give Hasra to warn Parai for the next plague. So therefore the plagues took approximately an erech, a time of 10 months. And then Klal Yisrael went out. One more point to bring us into the picture, that even though we're talking about long periods of time, we mentioned this on Shabbos, we're talking about 210 years since Yaakov came down with his household. It was a long time, over two centuries, but at the same time, it was short when it came to generations. Because Moshe was the son of Amram, the son of Kohos. Kohos was the son of Levi. In Parshas Vayigash, it states that Kohos came down. So Moshe's grandfather had come down from Eretz Canaan. It was only three generations. Moshe on his mother's side, Yocheved, she was the daughter of Levi. And Yocheved herself did not leave Eretz Canaan, but she did come to Egypt because she was born Ben Achemis just as they came into the land. So actually there it wasn't Moshe's grandfather that came down, but Moshe's mother actually came into the land. We have a better case, the Chazal bring us, that there was Kolev. We're all familiar with Kolev ben Yefuneh. He ultimately married Miriam, and he went out of Mitzrayim, and he was one of the 12 Meraglim, and he and Yeshua were the two Meraglim that would not be made Zedibat Ha'oretz. They would not say Loshon Hara on Eretz Yisrael. And it states that Kolev and Yeshua were Choyu min Amaraglim, they inherited the land of the spies, and they went into Eretz Yisrael. They were from those that went into Eretz Yisrael at the end of all of the time in the desert to inherit Eretz Yisrael. Kolev inherited the Ir Hebron, the city of Hebron. Now Kolev was the son of Chetzron. Chetzron was the son of Peretz, and Peretz was the son of Yehuda, one of the 12 sons. Parshas Vayigash, it states that Chetzron himself came down. So Kolev's father, Kolev who was in Mitzrayim, his own father had come down with Yaakov from Canaan, from Eretz Yisrael. And the Chazal bring out that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to Abraham, he said, your children will go down, and in the fourth generation they will return here. So he was referring from Yehuda. Yehuda would be those that would go down. And then there was Peretz and Chetzron, and the fourth generation, Kolev, would return to Eretz Canaan, to Eretz Israel. So therefore, even though it was over two centuries, but the span of the generations were very short. In Perek Vov, Posuk Chof Vov and Chof Zayin. The Torah tells us that this is during the time when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is instructing Moshe and Aaron what to do with Parah. Hu Aaron and Moshe, Asher Omar Hashem Lahem, Heitziu Es Bnei Yisrael Meretz Mitzrayim Al Tzivosam. This is the Aaron and Moshe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to them and said, take out Bnei Yisrael from Mitzrayim. Haman Amedabri Mel Pare Melech Mitzrayim. These are the ones that spoke to Pare, the mighty king, Lahitzi Esbenei Yisrael Mitzrayim, to take Yisrael out of Mitzrayim. Hu Meshe V'Aron. This is Meshe V'Aron. So there's quite a bit of reputation here. It tells us this is the Aron and Meshe. But what do we need that for? Would we think it's a different Aron and Meshe? And then it states, they are the ones who spoke to Pare. Well, we know that. And then it states, Hu Meshe V'Aron. This is the Meshe V'Aron. So what do we need all of this for? So Rashi brings, Heim Shenitztavu, Heim Shekaya Yomu. These are the Meshe and Aron that were commanded, and these were the Meshe and Aron that fulfilled the command. Hu Meshe V'Aron, Heim B'Shlichusam U'B'Tzitkosam Mitkil V'Atzov. This is the Meshe and Aron that fulfilled the Shlichus, the mission they were given by Hashem from beginning to end. So what is all of this telling us? Well, the Torah wants to emphasize it's the same Meshe and Aron. Yeah, but I mean, where did I think that they left and another Meshe and Aron slipped into the picture? Mitchil v'atzeif, from beginning to end. So in this, Rebbe Elimeir, it tells the Rosh Yeshiva, said as follows. When a person is given a great mission, and he could have been speaking about himself also, because they were given a great mission to bring Torah to America, amongst the others that did. He says, when a person is given a great mission, he starts out with a clear objective, knowing exactly what to do. In other words, his eyes on the ball, clearly focused. But as he gets into the work, and as the trials and tribulations of the work start to pile up, things become somewhat blurred. And as the work prospers and succeeds, he finds generally that his eye is mostly on what is necessary to do for success, for survival. And many times you can forget what the original shlichus, what the original mission was. And you become, he says, when you started to be a master over the mission, now you become its slave. And many times, he infers this. Doesn't say it explicitly, but we see it many times. Maybe you should turn right and you turn left. Or many times, maybe we see amongst many times Jewish organizations who have outlived their cause. They carry on and on and on. There's a saying, Jewish organizations don't die. They were started for an enormous cause. But the cause could have already been achieved, or it's no longer relevant. But they carry on. So he says, this is a very natural tendency. And it's a mokum sakono. It's a danger point. So here the Torah is telling us, Hu Aron and Moshe. This is the same Aron and Moshe, Asher Omar Hashem Lehem Etziu Es Bnei Yisrael Me'eretz Mitzrayim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to in the beginning to tell them, take Yisrael out of Mitzrayim. Heima Madabrim El Parah Merach Mitzrayim Lehetzis Bnei Yisrael. These are the same ones that spoke during all of this time to Parah to take out the Bnei Yisrael, Mi Mitzrayim. And who? Meshe V'Aron. And this is the same Meshe V'Aron. Thank you. And that's what Rashi says. Heim Shenitztavu, Heim Shekayomu. They were the ones that were sent on this by Hashem, and they were the same ones that fulfilled it. Hu Meshe V'Aron, Heim B'Shlichusam, U'B'Tzidkosam, Mitkil V'Atzof. This is the Meshav Aaron, and the whole way they never changed in their shlichus and their mission from the very beginning to the very end. But this, he doesn't bring this, but you can be Mavara, what the Torah says in another place, in many similar places. For example, it says, L'lameir al Aaron sheleishinu, that this is to teach us that Aaron, when he was commanded exactly what to do, Linyan the menorah, korbanos, and so forth, leishinu, he didn't change at all. Why should he change? It's such a big praise. Well, look, if it's a short task, all right. But when it's a long drawn-out task, and there's obstacles all the way, and you have to go in and out and up and down and so forth and so on, after a while, you forget what the shlichus was all about. So therefore, that's what this pasuk is telling us. I'm going to make a number of short points, short orders, on the Esr Makis, on the 10 plagues, even though it would be fit to elaborate on each one, but time doesn't allow. Although, in the past, we elaborated on a lot of these points in other places. Firstly, there's the question. We mentioned it took approximately 10 months to bring Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim from the first time, or from the time when Moshe and Aaron went to execute the plagues. What did HaKadosh Baruch Hu need 10 months for? He could have taken Klal Yisrael out immediately. One shot. Why the whole business? One makkah. And then 3 weeks of Asra. And the makkah lasts a week. And then another one, and then another one, and another one. The answer to that, the Torah itself tells us. We look in Perek Zayin, Pasuk Gimel. Hashem tells Moshe and Aaron, go to Paray and do what I tell you. Vani akshe eslev Paray. But he won't listen. I'll make sure he won't listen. Because I will harden his heart. And I'm going to make sure that this whole business takes a long time. In order to hirbesi eseseisai vesmaifsai be'eretz Mitzrayim, I could take you out immediately. But I don't want to, because I want the opportunity to show all of my wonders to Egypt. And therefore the Pare will not listen. And therefore it will give me the opportunity to show my hand in Mitzrayim. And to bring my nation out with great judgments and great wonders, v'yodu Mitzrayim ki ani Hashem. And then Mitzrayim will well know that I am Hashem, bin teisi es yodi al Mitzrayim, v'yitzeisi es b'nei Yisrael miteichom. The Torah repeats this again in next week's Parsha and Parsha's Bo. Beginning of Parsha's Bo, v'yemar Hashem al Moshe be el parei ki ani ichbarati es libay ves lev avodov leman shisi eseisai ele bekirbay. Go to Paray, and I will harden his heart and the heart of his servant, so they will not send you out right away, to give me the opportunity to bring all of my wonders in them. Uleman, so they will know, and uleman tesape bas nevincha ben vincha is ashi salalti b'mitzrayim, and in order that your children and grandchildren will see how I sported with Egypt. Veseseisa ashesamti vom. And all of the wonders that I displayed there, yidatem ki ani Hashem. And then they will know that I am Hashem. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu purposely delayed, made this a long process to give him the opportunity to show Pare and his servants and the Bnei Yisrael and the world all of his great wonders. Rashi brings in the pasuk that we mentioned from Va'era, Vani Aksha Me'achas Shiyashio. Shiyashio Vihisris Kenegdi. Goli Lefonai Shenachas Ruach Ba'umais Evichovim. Loses Lev Sholem Loshuv. He says, I'll give Pari the opportunity to do tshuva. But I know he's not going to do tshuva. That I can see. So if he's not going to do tshuva, I might as well exploit the situation for whatever it's worth. Therefore, rather than to kill him immediately and all of his servants, so you can all walk out, I will harden his heart. In order that I can bring multitudes of miracles and wonders, and you will all recognize my great strength. And this is the way of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Chazal tell us. Rashi brings. Maybe poranes al rishe aibdikachovim kedeshi yishmo'u Yisrael v'yiro. HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings great wonders, great poranias, great punishments on the aibdikachovim. He's got people that are deserving of destruction. But instead of destroying them in a way where they vanish immediately, he destroys them in a way where it can take a lot of time and through great wonders, in order that Yisrael will see this. And they'll through this, they'll know HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then Rashi says, but still, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Parai five chances. The first five plagues, it states, Vayechazak es libay. Parai hardened his own heart. He was giving him chances to do tshuva. After that, Vayechazak es libay, HaKadosh Baruch Hu then wouldn't let him. Even though Parai would have to bow to Hashem, but that was not willfully. That was just because of all of the... He couldn't endure any further suffering. HaKadosh Baruch Hu still made it where he would not bow to him, and therefore he could bring even more. So, we have two things from here. Firstly, we understand why the whole Eser Makis and all of the other wonders, and almost a year. And secondly, that this is the Midah Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This means that when we see great Poronius, unfortunately, we do not react like that. But we live in a world, especially today, with the global communication, where we constantly read about an earthquake that could kill 20, 30,000 people. It was just one recently. Or a famine in countries, or other such plagues. Chazal tell us this is HaKadosh Baruch Hu destroying nations that are deserving of it, but in a way where we should take notice of it, take rebuke, to see the greatness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The first makkah was striking the Nile River, and it was turned to blood. Let's ask a question. Why was this chosen to be first? And that Rashi brings from the Chazal the answer. This is Rashi in Posuk Yud Zayin. This is in Zayin Yud Zayin. Lefi she'en gshamim yodin b'mitzrayim, there was no rain in Egypt. Egypt is a land which is not at all in a rain belt. V'nilus ole u'mashkes oretz. So therefore, the entire irrigation came from the Nile River. But Egypt was a very, very fertile country before this. After this, it became a ruin. But it was a very, very fertile country. Not only was it a fertile country, but it states, Ki gan Hashem ki eretz Mitzrayim. It was next to Eretz Yisrael, possibly the most beautiful country in the world. And that was because of the Nile. No rain, but the Nile River would flood on a regular basis in the proper season. And Elu Mashke Esorot, and it would go and water the whole land. They had dug irrigation canals all through the whole land. And therefore, Mitzrayim Ovdim L'Nilus. Mitzrayim served the Nile River as their god, because the way they saw it, they were sustained from the Nile River. L'Ficha Hilke Es Yir Osom, V'Achaka Hilke Osom. Therefore, first HaKadosh Baruch Hu struck their god, and then he struck them. So this is why he chose the Nile first. Now, what does this mean? You see, many times when we see a problem, or we see something, we do not see the core of the problem. We do not see the heart of the issue. We spoke about this last Shabbos. So we strike back at to the right of the target, to the left of the target, above the target, below the target, and so forth. All confusion. Kodesh Baruch Hu sees a problem. He sees exactly the problem. He sees the core of the problem. The core of the problem, why Egypt was Egypt, is because they worshipped Avodah Zarah. They worshipped idolatry. Mi Hashem, Asher Eshma Elov. I said, who is this God, Paro said, that I should listen to him? I don't know of this God. If you were told him something in the name of the Nile River, it could have been different. So the problem was that Avodah Zarah. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes right to the target first. He says, first we'll dispose of their God. And then, that's the first order of business. And then we go to the next order of business. And it's the Avodah Zarah that drive the people away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This goes deeper. Because kol ha'eved Avodah Zarah, whoever serves idolatry is as if he denies the entire Torah. There can be nothing that is more misleading. There can be nothing that's more deceiving from the truth than Avodah Zarah, than idolatry. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu struck at that. We mentioned many times, and that's why Jews should not be tolerant of it. And that's the evolutionists. We have very, very respectable people, and professors and whatnot, who are promoters of evolution. This is the kafirim, this idolatry. The kafir, they deny the metzias of Hashem. And someone like that, so that's a kafir b'chala terekula. Then all of the mitzvahs, all taryag, mean nothing. Because how can you fulfill any mitzvah if you don't believe in the mitzvah and the one who's giving the mitzvahs? So therefore, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes revenge, he goes there first. So this was chosen to be the number one maket, the number one plague. Pasuk Chof Beis, it states, Vayasu chen chartume mitzrayim belotehem, vayechazak lev parei v'leishom aleim kasher diber Hashem. Parei called to his sorcerers. Meanwhile, what happened? The Nile had turned to blood, and v'hadoga shebeyar meso, and all the fish died. V'iva shayor, and the whole river was turned into one great big garbage dump because all of the fish were dead there, and Mitzrayim couldn't drink any water. V'hi dom b'chol eretz Mitzrayim, and there was blood all over Mitzrayim. Especially the irrigation canals went all over, and so forth. Pare called his the Chartume Mitzrayim to his sorcerers, but they duplicated what Moshe and Aaron could do. And therefore he hardened his heart and he wasn't interested. But even Pare by Yova El Base Shos Li by Gamlesh. Went home and not interested. Now what does it mean Gamlesh also this? Because this happened before the 10 plagues. So Mesh and Aaron came, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Tunale Mephis, make a wonder for Pare, so he'll see that there's some substance in what you're talking about. So they threw down, Mesha threw down his staff. This is in Zayin Posuk Yud. Vayashlech Aaron. Aaron threw down his mateh lifnei Pare, and it became a tanin, it became a serpent. So Vayikra gam Pare lachachomim, bela machashvim. Pare also called his wise and his sorcerers. Vayasu gam heim. And they also did this. Gam chatume mitzrayim, bela hatehem keim. Also with their sorcery. Rashi, by the pasuk that we're dwelling on, he makes a keen observation. When we're speaking, it says bilotehem. This means sorcery. Before, it says bilahatehem. An extra hey. Lotehem by us, that would be lamed. Tes yud hey mem, and before lahatehem, lamed hey tes yud hey mem. What's the difference? So Rashi brings from the Chazal. Actually, he's bringing it's the observation is not Rashi. Rashi's bringing it. It's from a Gemara in Sanhedrin. Rashi's quoting. So he says, Abisenu omru belotehem ma'ase shedim belahatehem ma'ase kshofim. He says there's two types of sorceries. Lotehem, that's when you start to deal with shadim, what perhaps we would refer to as the devils. And lahatehem, that's when you start dealing with sorcery, perhaps we would refer to as witchcraft. So these are two different types. Why one there and one here? That's a good question, see? But you have to have some understanding in this, I would imagine, to explain. And then, Rashi said before, what does the word mean? Both is from the same shorish. Lat. Lotehem or lahatehem. But it both has the word lat. What does the word mean? So Rashi says, lot. The Hebrew word lot means silently. The Sifsei Chachamim says, it's like shadim, like the devils that go silently. See, if you know anything about the devils and the witchcraft, you know they don't make any noise, the devils. So they go very silently. I don't know if Rashi is referring to is exclusively speaking there about lotehem and not lahatehem, because the other has a hey dividing the lamed and tes. Say this, I'm not sure, but and the Sifsei Chachamim brings a pasuk vatovei balot. It's in Hebrew, Loshon HaKodesh, where someone came very very silently, he used the word lot. So that would be the shorish of the word, at least lotehem, perhaps lahatehem also. The now that, this is why Rashi tells us in the next Rashi why Parai wasn't impressed with all of this, because he said what you're doing. It's witchcraft or sorcery. You're dealing with devils. You're dealing with other things. Mitzrayim, Egypt was famous for that. Egypt was the land of sorcery. She said, Tevin atem machnisin la parais. There was a medina that was called Ephrais, and that was famous for its straw. So he says, you're coming to bring straw and hay to Ephrois? The same thing, which is a city called Teven, Amphatem, Mevin, Machshefos, Lemitzrayim, Shekula, Kshofim. Are you trying to impress us with magic here in Mitzrayim, that we're the capital of magic? It would be like the sayings, you're bringing coal to Newcastle. That's what Paroi told them. Interestingly, we can deduce from here that there's a realistic power of Kishuv or Maisi Shadim in the world, because they were duplicating what Maisha and Aaron was doing. And I don't think they were just pulling the wool over their eyes. You see, let's say you have plenty of carpetbaggers and people who are fraudulent, but I don't think this was a case of fraud. And what enforces that is the second makkah, which was the Svadea, that they brought frogs out of the river, they also duplicated. But the third makkah, which was the Kinim, that the offer was struck, and lice came, this one they could not duplicate, and that's when the Chachomim, his wise, told Pare, Etz Belakimi, this is the finger of Hashem, because we cannot duplicate it. So if it was just a case of fraud, so why couldn't they defraud them in there also? And the Rashi brings from the Chazal, why couldn't they duplicate it? Because he brings that ein hashed shore al pochos mikesora. The keach that they were using, this keach of kishuv, only has a power on something which is at least the size of a barley. And the kinim and the kernels of the sand that they were striking were smaller than that. So he brings she'en ashed shelet al ber yepchusa mikisora. That the shade, the devil, has no power over something which is less than that. Actually, the sheer kisora is the same we find in many cases. So, if it was fraud, what's the difference? We see it was a realistic power, a realistic force. Well, actually, the Vilna Gaon in Yoredeya brings proof from here that Kishuv was a force in the world. And then it comes to take the Rambam to task, because the Rambam writes that all Kishuv, when it comes to these things, he says it's a bunch of fraud. The Gra agrees that it doesn't mean that everybody who claims he can do some magic is not a fraudster. But he says, but those that had the Chochmah, that had this wisdom, it was genuine. They could do it. And this is one of his proofs. He says, we see this explicitly here. So that's another point of interest. The second marker was Svadea, the frogs. If we go to Posuk, Chavob, Vayema Hashem al Meshe, Bay al Pare Vamata Elov, go to Pare and to say to him, Kiyamar Hashem Shalaches Ami Vayabduni, send my nation out so they might serve me. Vimayin Atol Shalayach, Hineanechi Negev is called Vulcha Betzvadiim. And if you refuse, then I will plague all of your boundaries with frogs. Bishorat Ayorat Svadiim, Vaolu Uvau Beveisecha, Vahadar Mishkovecho, Veal Mitosecho. The river will become full of frogs, and they will go out, they will come up and go into your house, into your bedrooms, into your bed, into the house of your servants, your nation, into your stoves, into your places where you make your dough. Now, and this is what happened. Rashi here dwells, it states, Ba'olu uvo'o beveisecho, they will go up into your house, and then afterwards it says, beveis avodecho, and in your servants' houses. Why yours first? Again we see the Seder HaDvorim, how Kodesh Baruch Hu takes aim. Hu hiskel be'etzet tchila, be'yema el amai, he is the one who started the whole enslavement. He said to the people at States, Vayokam Melech HaChodesh, a new king rose up, and he said to his nation, Hovenishkachma, let us take strategy against them and let us enslave them. He started, Umimene Hiskila Poronis. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will attack him first. So we see first HaKadosh Baruch Hu attacked the Avodah Zarah, the Nile River, that caused Paray to think that he could run the world. Then he went after Paray, who was next in line. Then he went after his servants who followed him. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't lose focus. The next pasuk states, Uvecho uveamcho, uvecho lavadecho. They will go in you, in your nation, and all your servants. Now this is a sfas yeser. This pasuk we don't need. Already said that they will go into your house, into your bedrooms, into your servants' houses. So the next pasuk says, Uvecho, they will go into you and your nation and all your servants. It's repetition. So Rashi dwells on it. Now, when it said that they will go into your houses, into your bedrooms, that means that the frogs will be all over the place. They'll be in the kitchen, they'll be under the bed, and so forth. But this pasuk of Uvecho tells us, Beseich me'ehem nichnosin u'mekakarin. They will go in you. They will go into your mouths and into your stomachs. And they will sit there and they will croak all night. So that's why we have the next pasuk. Uvecho uveamcho v'chol avodecho. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is no one to play with. Yalu. Ya'alu atzvadi'im. I once saw, many years ago, I should be checked out on this, but I believe I once saw from Rabbeinu Bachaya that it states that he writes that the Nile seems to be quite infested with crocodiles. And he says, this is why. This is what was left over from the plague. But it seems he's relating the crocodile to the frog. Doesn't seem too realistic that the crocodile started to crawl all over the bedrooms and went into the people. And they're still around to tell the story. So something to look into. The next marker. This was the third marker, Kinim. Kinim is where they were commanded to strike the sand. And the sand would be turned into lice. See, actually, what Rabbeinu Bachaya dwells on is because by the Tzvadi'im in Pasuk Hei, it states that after Paro relented, so Moshe removed all of the Tzvadi'im, the frogs, rak ba'yo'or tisha'arno, and they all just returned to the river. So the river became infested with them. All right, the next one is Kinim. And they struck the sand. It became lice. That's what we mentioned, that this one, the Chatumim, were not capable of duplicating. It was too small. And that's why in Posuk, Tesvov, Vayemra Chatumim El Pare, Etz Belekimhi. This was the first time that they recognized HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they said, Etz Belekimhi. Rashi says, Makazu Ein Al Yedek Shofim. This mark is not through sorcery. Meis HaMokamu, it has to be from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Still, Vayechazak Lev Pare Vilei Shoma Alem Kasher Diber Hashem. Pare was so stubborn and evil that even then, this was on his own, he hardened his heart and he wouldn't listen to them. Now, on this marker, it states in Pasuk Yud Beis, Vayema Hashem al Meshe Emor al Aaron. Say to Aaron to take the staff and hit the sand. Not to Moshe. And Rashi says, why? Lohoya offered Kedai Lilkes Ayide Moshe. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want Moshe to strike the sand. Lefisha Hegin Olav Kishore Gesamitzri. Because the sand was a friend to Moshe. The sand concealed the Egyptian that Moshe killed. So they wouldn't find him. Meneu Bechol. And therefore, it wouldn't be right for Moshe to smite the sand. Therefore, Balok al Yidei Aaron. Therefore, was stricken through Aaron. And he brings this from the Medrash Shmos. This was on the third plague. So was it on the first two plagues. But for different reasons. On the first two plagues, if we look in Posuk Yutes, the same we find, Vayema Hashem al Moshe, Emol al Aaron. He said to Moshe, speak to Aaron, kach matchon neteyot kol memei Mitzrayim. Aaron should take the staff and smite the river and make it into dam, into blood. That was the first. And the same with the second. Smite the river. Aaron should smite the river and make it and bring the frogs out. So there Rashi also says, in Pasuk Yutes, emor al Aaron lefisha hegin hayuhor al Moshe kishenishlach lesechei. The river was a friend to Moshe. Because when Pare commanded that they should kill every male-born child, so Pare's mother concealed Moshe's mother concealed him in the river. So the river is what saved him. Therefore, when it came to the first two plagues that were smiting the river, Kodesh Baruch Hu told Aaron. From here we see four chidushim, four unique principles. First we see how makpid, how exact HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with Midas Derech Eretz. So what if the river was good to Moshe? So what if the offer, the sand, was good to Moshe? But now it was necessary to smite it. So why couldn't Moshe do it? Because that would be a chisorin in HaKadosh HaTov, in appreciation, in recognition for something that does good to you. But it'd be worse than that. It'd be the ultimate. It's not only a lack of appreciation and a lack of recognition, but it's mishalim tei, mishalim rot achas tova. The worst that a person can do is that if someone does something good to you, not only you don't appreciate it, but you hit him in exchange. That's why the Gemara brings, it's a Mishnah. Mishnah, Masechet Ovos, is that one of the worst qualities is haleva veina pereya, to borrow and not to pay. Person that steals, it's a terrible avera, but at least the other person didn't do him a kindness. But Haleva, Deina Perea. But here, you ask someone you need money, and he does a favor for you, he does a kindliness to you, and now you don't repay him. That's Mashalim Rota Chestova. So the first thing is, we see that a Kodesh Baruch Hu was very makpid on it to the point where he wouldn't allow Meisha to do this. So therefore, it had to be done through Aaron. A second principle we see, even if it's deserving of such a punishment, a Kodesh Baruch Hu will not allow the person to do this. And this, Rechaim Shimon Levitz, Zichel of Sarek Baruch Hu, brings out in one of his sikhos. Because you have to say that the river was deserving of being smitten, that the offer was deserving. Otherwise, why were they smitten? So they must have been. So we could say, look, you can't hit someone if he did me a tova. Good. That's if he's not deserving of it. But if he's deserving of it, if he's chayev, why not? No. You get someone else to do it, not you. See, not you. So even that the river had this coming to it, and the same thing with the soil, Kodesh Baruch Hu said, but it cannot come Ayidei Moshe. Aaron will have to do it. So that's the second principle we see. A third principle we see, and also that Reb Chaim Shmuel Levitz brings out. And this is something that many times many people do not pay cognizance to. This principle of this Midah Tova and this Derech Eretz is not nitche mipnei mitzvah. You can't say, well, here's the difference because it's a mitzvah. You might say, look, you got to recognize what the person did for you. And even if he's deserving of a punishment, it shouldn't come from me. But that's why it's not a mitzvah. But here's a mitzvah. If it's a mitzvah, so why not? And not only is this a mitzvah, could there have been a greater mitzvah? This is basically a mitzvah of Kiddush Shem Shemayim Barabim. Why is HaKadosh Baruch Hu having Moshe and Aaron do all of this? In order that my name should be known to Mitzrayim and to the whole world. So we're talking here of a mitzvah of Kiddush Shem Shemayim Barabim that Ein Lecho Mitzvah G'day L'Mizu. This is the greatest mitzvah. So Mabekach, why should we worry about the person is deserving of it. He's chayiv. You could be Makadi Shem Shemayim Barabim. So do it. Still not. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, not you, Moshe. Aaron. You see? It's a tremendous yisod. That's a tremendous principle. Reb Chaim Shmuel Levitz says that we find a similarity to this. And he feels that where Moshe did such a thing, even though he was not instructed, and he feels this is where Moshe learned it from. Where would that be? In Parshas Matos, Kodesh Baruch Hu told Moshe, "Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe, Nikom Nikmas Midjon. Go and take revenge from Midjon for what they did to the Bnei Yisrael. They were the ones that came." That was the whole business with Bilam and Bullock. They enticed Klal Yisrael to snooze the immorality into Avodah Zarah. And they caused many, many deaths. So Kodesh Baruch Hu said, take revenge from them. He told Moshe, Nekom Nikmas Midyon. It states, Vayomer Moshe El Elozer. Moshe told Elozer, go take revenge. The Medrash Yalkut Shmeini asks HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe, what's Moshe telling Elozer? So the Medrash says, because Moshe didn't want to do it. Because Midian was a friend to him at one time. When he ran away from Mitzrayim in last week's Parsha, so he had refuge by Yisrael in Midian. So therefore Moshe didn't want to do it. Now this is a good calculation If HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have told him. But here HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't tell him. He told Meisha. So the Teretz is, Moshe knew that the explanation, the Pirush HaDvarim, and what Hashem said, meant that it should come through Moshe, but not by Moshe. Then Moshe must appoint someone in his stead to do it. How did he know that? From the Makkos here. Because here was a similar situation. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, not Moshe, but Aaron. So from here we hear Dvarim Gedolim, Dvarim Niflaim. That if you have a situation where you have to do something, but through this you're going to transgress a Derech Eretz. Even though the situation warrants it, and the situation demands it, and it's a mitzvah rabbah, has to be done. But you got to find a way to do it where it doesn't transgress the Derech Eretz. Now, bringing in Rebbe Elimeir and his Korosh Yeshiva Ramotel, this was something they were enormously makpid on. Enormously makpid. Enormously exacting. The greatest mitzvah must be done. But it has to be done. They used to say, you have to be a chochem. You have to be a wise enough person to know how to do it. The right time, the right place, and the right way, that it does not transgress a Derech Eretz or a Midah Tova. Greatest mitzvah. And they were enormously exacting on it. And they could stand when they would see people in the name of mitzvah at the same time be aver on Hilchis Derech Eretz or Hilchis Chevas Halev. We have many similar, we have many sources of that in the Torah. But it's Heach Tochiach Esochicho Be'alti Salov Chet. What? Heach is Tochiach what? Esamisecho. Leisiso. V'leisisol avcheit. Say you must rebuke your fellow man. If you get someone and it starts to yell at someone, what are you yelling at for? So mitzvah says him in our Torah. The Torah says leisisol avcheit. Must do it in a way in which you make him feel good about it, not feel bad about it. You, Tomer was prepared to have herself destroyed and the two children that she was carrying in her womb rather than to publicly embarrass Yehuda. Could there be a greater avera than that? The self-destruction of three lives. And what does the Gemara say from here? The Gemara should have said that she was an idiot. You allow yourself to be destroyed just because you don't want to embarrass someone. And she was right. Yehuda was wrong. The Gemara says just the opposite. Mikan, from here we learn. Mutav, it's better that a person should throw himself into a fiery furnace than to be malbin penei chaveri berabim, than to publicly embarrass someone. And here she was right, he was wrong. He said, Tzotko, mimeni. She's righteous, I'm the one that's not. And many, many such situations. But this is something that they were very, very makpida, very strong. Now I said we learned four chidushim. So we mentioned one that you have to keep the Derech Cheretz and the HaKoros HaTov. The second is even if the river and the soil was deserving of the Paranias. Thirdly, Avila B'moka Mitzvah, even where there's a big mitzvah. What's the fourth Yisod? The fourth Yisod is Yes, this is all well and fine when you're dealing with another person. He said you shouldn't, you must rebuke a person, but at the same time you have to be careful not to hurt him. You must do something, but you can't embarrass him. But who are we dealing with here? We're dealing with water. We're dealing with 18 bavonim. We're dealing with stones. So what are we talking about? Who are you going to hurt? What are you going to do? And the Gemara dwells on this. This is the Gemara dwells on. This is the Gemara in Baba Kama. The Gemara brings and says, Bira de shosis minei. Le tazdi be kola. A bore, a well that you had water from, treat it with respect. And even if you don't need the water anymore, do not fill it in. Have derech eretz for it. What? With a well? With eitzim ba'avonim? The source we see from here. You had benefit from the river? Be careful, treat it with respect. You had benefit from the soil? Be careful, treat it with respect. The beer in this is from the Mesilas Yesharim in the Shara Kedusha. Mesilas Yesharim says, whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu created, there's not one thing he created levatola, without a reason. But Al writes that everything that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created, he says, is lichvedi, it was for my honor. You wouldn't walk into a palace of a king and start to kick around the things, put out the candles. That's the same thing. But it's more than that. It's more than that. It's all a creation of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which means that it has a kesher, a link to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, there's some things which are living. Some things are growing. The grass grows. A behemah has a nefesh, a living nefesh. An Adam, it's a different bria altogether. But whatever is in the world, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made, has a link to him. And if it has a link to him, you have to have derech eretz for it. You have to have respect. And the Mesilas Yesharim says, I'll show it to you, I'll prove it to you. He says you can take stones and from there you can build the Mizbeach, the altar. You can take Ofor and build the Mizbeach. And they become Kodosh. And we see the Torah commanded us that we have to be careful the way we walk up to the Mizbeach, that we shouldn't be Mevazeh. We shouldn't shame the stones of the Mizbeach. What kind of shame? This is the whole foundation of Kedusha. What is the foundation of Kedusha? To take something which has no Kedusha, which has no sanctity, and elevate it to a level of sanctity. He says, what's the Beis HaMikdash made out of? It's made out of Eitzim Vavonim, wood and stone. There was no Kedusha. But the person was Magdish, he sanctified it. He says, I'll tell you better. You can take grain and bring it as a korban. You can take a behema. Take a behema. A lowly creature. A cow. An ox, a bull. Make it into a korban. Bring it on the Mizbeach. It becomes a mitzvah's essay min ha-Torah, a positive commandment min ha-Torah for the Kahanim. The Kahanim is the Am Kodesh, to eat it. And kahanim ochlim va'bailim miskaprim. And through that, Klal Yisrael gets a kapora. What is the greatest moment of Klal Yisrael? When they received the kapora on Yom HaKippurim. How did they receive the kapora on Yom HaKippurim? The Kohen Gadol would bring a par. He would bring a bull, a sawyer, a goat. Now, if these things did not have any link with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so what is it? How could you do such a thing? So therefore, and he says, that's why we find by Yaakov Avinu, it says when he came to the place where he went to sleep, when he was going on his way to the house of Lavan, he didn't know it, but that was Einzuel Beis Hamikdash v'zeh Shara Shomayim, that was the Mokam HaMikdash, that was the place of the Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim. So it states that he went to sleep, he gathered the Abnei Amokim, he gathered the stones of the place, and in the morning it was all one stone, because the Chazal tell us there was a fight amongst the stones. Alayoniach Tzadikis Roshay, each one wanted to become the resting place for Yaakov's head. So he says they were seeking that elevation, and finally they became, Kodesh Baruch Hu made them all into one stone, and Yaakov anointed that stone, and that became a foundation for the Beis HaMikdash. Rebbe Yemeir in the Sefer Panini Hadas, which actually he didn't write, but it was a likut, it's malakit, his Divrei Torah from various Shirei Das and so forth. See, he also dwells on this point. And he says that generally people think that the reason why you shouldn't be disrespectful to even inanimate objects that you had benefit from is because then you will destroy in yourself the hargosha, the emotion of appreciation. If you're going to go around and be rough with things, a table served you well, a chair served you well, and you won't show respect for it, you'll destroy your sensitivity. He says that's false. Because if that was the full story of it, he says, then by rights there shouldn't be any sensitivity towards that. Why should you have sensitivity for something where it's totally out of the realm of appreciation? He says that's a false direction. So it must be that you are required to have appreciation towards it. The situation demands it. And then he says, doesn't bring it from the Mesilas Yesharim, but he says the same beer that we are bringing from the Mesilas Yesharim. So that's the fourth chidush that we learn from here. And the fifth plague was the fourth plague. The fourth plague was the Ha'orev, and that's the mixture of wild animals that came down on Mitzrayim. There's a very interesting point made from here, Ha'orev from the Vilna Gaon, which I've said over a number of times, where he brings Perchofei. No, one second now. It's in Perches Posuk. Yudzayin. Ki im ein chum mishaleach es ami, if you will not send my nation out, hineni mashliach b'cho v'avodecha v'amcho v'avotecha es ha'orov. Then Hashem says that He will send into you and your servants, your nation, your houses, ha'orov, the mixture of wild beasts. Umolu bote mitzrayim es ha'orov, and they will fill up the houses of Mitzrayim with the wild beasts. V'gam ha'adoma asher hem aleho, and also the earth which they are on. What does that mean, the Gaon asks? What does it mean, v'gam ha'adoma asher hem aleho? I will send in the wild beasts. They will attack you, your homes, every place, and also the earth which they are on. Doesn't make sense. So the Gaon says as follows. Rashi says, Ese orov, kol minei chayos rous unechoshim v'akrabim b'erbubia. Actually, this was a nightmare. This was like Kruger National Park went wild. Kol minei chayos rous, all types of wild animals, serpents, scorpions, all together in one congestion, v'imashchisim bohem. And they came destructively on all of the people. She says, Rashi brings kol minei chayos. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I will send all of my beasts. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says all, it means all. So yes, the kasha, there's a Mishnah in Masechta. It's either Masechta Taras or Arlim, in which the Mishnah speaks there of an animal which looks like a man, but he's an animal. But he looks like a man, a ferocious animal, and he's connected to the earth with his cord. And he'll kill anything that'll come into his circumference. And he's a very ferocious animal, and he was a very hard animal to kill because of that. What is the Mishnah dealing with? The Mishnah wants to know if he dies, is he matamba ba'eitel? It says, Odom ki yomos ba'eitel. A man, when he dies, and he's in the same domain, the same tent as another person, so he becomes tome. So we give this a din Odom, or a din behema. Behema is not matamba ba'eitel. Now he's called Ish HaSodeh. That's his name. Ish HaSodeh, which means he's a man, but he's connected to the field. So the Gaon asks, HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised that I'm going to bring all my ferocious beasts to Egypt. How did he bring this one? Once you disconnect him, he dies. So how did he bring him? The Torah says he had to be tailish. He had to uproot the land on which this Ish HaSodeh is and bring him with his land together. So that's what it means. Kodesh Baruch Hu says that I will bring Mashli b'cho v'avadecha v'amcha v'adecha esa orev v'gam ho'adoma asher heim alecho. I will bring all of the animals and also the earth on which they're standing. That refers to him. So he came too. Then the Gaon says that answers something else. Because in Parshas told us, what the Torah is describing for us, Yaakov and Esav. So it says on Esav, this is in Perichofei Posuchov Zayin, Vayigdalu Hanaorim, the two lads grew up, Vayi Esav Ish Yodei Tzayd, Esav was a person who knew how to hunt, Ish Sodeh. The grammar is not good. It should say, Vayi Esav Ish Yodei Tzayd, Be Ish Sodeh. Esav was a person who knew how to hunt, and he was a man of the field. He says, if you read, Vayi Esav Ish Sodeh, Ish Sodeh would read, Esav knew how to hunt, the man of the field. So he says, that's what it means. Esav was such a good hunter, he was one of the few that could hunt the Ish Sodeh, the man of the field. He was able to kill this beast. So this is how he's mevara that. I'm going to conclude with one more word from Rabbi Elimelech Zichrono Livracha. And this is not on this parsha, but last week's parsha. It states that first he was Gezer, Pare was Gezer, that every male child from the Hebrews should be killed. Then later on he was Gezer, Kol HaBen, every male child that was born, Yashlihu, the Yor, should be thrown into the river, even from his own nation. So the Chazal asked, every male child from the Hebrews, yes. But why every male child from his own nation? So the answer, why was he after every male child from the Hebrews? Because his sorcerers had told him that there's going to be a person born, and he will come and redeem all of Klal Yisrael, and he will destroy Paran Mitzrayim. Oh, so therefore, he was Gezer every male child from the Hebrews. But later, the sorcerers came, and they said, we're getting mixed messages here. The radar vision here is not 100%. We don't know. Our machines are not working exactly right. We've got to call in the computer experts here. There's something wrong. He says, we're getting messages that the child will be born, and he will destroy you and Egypt, and take Klal Yisrael out. But sometimes we get a message that he's a Hebrew, and sometimes we get a message that he's Egyptian. So Parah says, if that's the case, Ma'itzah Parah El Kol Amai. He says, now I want, especially they knew when he was going to be born, now I want everyone to kill their male children. So the Kashas asked, the Berimei asks, well, why all of a sudden something went wrong with their communications? Okay. What was causing the distortion? See, he brings B'Shem the Chassam Sefer. Actually, it's in the Maral also. What was causing it is because Moshe was to be saved by Bas Parai, the daughter of Parai. And she would adopt him and bring him up in the palace. And the Chazal say, could there be a greater mitzvah than a Magadol Yosem to bring up an orphan? Especially here he would have died. They knew he was an Ivri. Miyaldea Ivri, they said. So she saved his life and she brought him up as her own son. We call him Magadol Yosem, Kilu Yoldo. The Torah says, you bring up an orphan, I give you the credit as if it's your own son. So therefore, they didn't know if he was a Hebrew or if he was an Egyptian, because Bas Parai was an Egyptian. This was the confusion. So the Beli Meir makes an interesting comment. He says there can be a greater difference in the world whether Moshe is a Yisrael or is a Goy. Can't make a bigger error than that. Moshe Rabbeinu is the greatest Jew that ever lived. And you can get confused that he might be a Goy, an Egyptian yet. So he says, from here you learn how you have to take the prophets of the Goyim and the historians of the Goyim with a grain of salt. He says, this is how they foresee what's happening in the world and how they foresee history. Because by the Nevi'im, our Nevi'im, they told Pokon Yifkaid, told very clearly, there'll be a Jew that'll come and take you out of Mitzrayim. So there's no question, no confusion. By them, they can make such an error where you can come to a conclusion that the Goel that will take out, this is how they're reading the situation, that a Goel that will come and take Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim to Har Sinai will be a Mitzri. She says, from here you see how you have to be careful with all of your forecasts and your analysis of what's happening that comes from the Goyesha forecasters and not from the Chachmei Yisrael, the Chazal, or the Nabi Yisrael, the prophets of Yisrael. This number of points from the Sedra, and may the memory of the Gon, the Telzer Rosh Yeshiva, Rebbe Yemeya Zichreinu Vrocha, be a brocha for Klal Yisrael, Shuse Yogein Aleinu Al Kol Am Yisrael.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at PO Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.